And views. Kirsten Baszler is our guest. She's the head of the Department of Public Instruction. Kirsten, you're a Democrat, or you're a Republican. I'm a Democrat. And yet on this one, I'm not sure that we haven't found common ground for Common Core. I'm curious what your thoughts are. Why do you support Common Core?
I support Common Core because for two major reasons, I believe. The first reason is that our students really aren't ready when they leave high school. And we've been told that as educators, for a number of years. Higher education, business and industry was telling K-12 teachers, administrators, that those kids weren't ready when they were getting them. We had to do something different.
But you're a former educator.
I am.
You were in those hallways.
Yep.
And when I raised that question to Brenda Heller, I said, do you think our kids are ready? She said, I think we're doing just fine. You're telling me we're not.
I would say that we're not. And as an educator, I think we as educators, that is why we as educators came together and supported these standards and said, we need to do better.
So give me some facts that back up why you feel we're not.
Okay. First of all, you mentioned them earlier. 23% of our kids are ready according to the ACT test. 23%. That's not enough of our kids that are ready to go to college. Our NAEP scores, which is the nation's report card, they have been very flat, both in reading and math, for several generations. We need to do better. Our test scores aren't raising. We're not competing on a global level, and we're investing more money. We need to do things differently. If we expect to do the same thing and teach by the same standards and get different results, we're all silly. That's just not possible.
So how hard is that for you, the head of all education in North Dakota, to look at North Dakotans who were pretty good at saying how great our young people are, and looking them right in the eye and saying, look, they're not ready.
They're not ready. And I think we can either face that fact now and help them and adjust that and help them and provide the support, or we can continue to do the same thing and let them fall.
Is Common Core being driven just simply by the federal government?
It is not. And that's the second most important reason, the reason that I support the new standards, the new math and English standards, is because our teachers in North Dakota spent over a year looking at them back and forth, comparing our old standards. And you had six or seven teachers from the Fargo area that were involved.
That isn't what Ms. Heller told me. She said this was all done at a federal level behind closed doors, that this was all being dictated. Follow the money, Joel. She made it perfectly clear. Follow the money. I'm not going to be so foolish to ask you whether you've taken federal money, because I know you haven't. What I'm asking is, are you doing this just simply so you can take federal money?
Absolutely not. We have $0. We intentionally withdrew from the No Child Left Behind waiver, the ESEA waiver. That was one of the requirements of that waiver, was to have college and career ready standards, adopt those. We withdrew our waiver. We never applied for a Race to the Top grant. She mentioned the money that Indiana might lose, and Indiana is a Race to the Top state. We are not. We've received $0.
So those are choices they made as a state.
I
mentioned the fact that I knew that in Kentucky, where they adopted some of these standards, they're already seeing some return on them. And I challenged her on that. She mentioned New York, Indiana, some other states. What are you seeing out there in the world you live in terms of what's already happening?
Indiana was not an early adopter state. Kentucky wasn't an early adopter state. On the tests that matter, on the college entrance exams, on the career readiness, college and career readiness, the exams that matter, what Kentucky saw was a dramatic jump. They went from the upper 20% higher than we are. They started out higher than we are. We're only at 23%. And they jumped to, I believe it was 37% the first year that we're ready. Then the following year, they jumped to 54%. Those are the gains that we're talking about.
I'm thinking of teachers in a classroom in Tioga, in a classroom in Kildare, and somebody walks in and they say, "Hi, I'm now a North Dakotan. I want to go to your school. And by the way, I'm a freshman in high school." What are we finding?
We're finding that what was taught at eighth grade varied across the states. What was expected to be learned by the end of seventh and eighth grade varied across the states. We are finding there was a great difference in what was taught. It maybe all eventually got taught somewhere in there, but if a student moves around a lot, they're very likely to miss something.
I'm going to ask you this because I have to ask you this. You had a staff member that works under you named Dale Wetzel, who is former Associated Press writer, who very passionate about this debate, set up a Gmail account, and during part of this debate was sending out emails under an assumed name and not signing them while he was an employee of the Department of Public Instruction. Is that right?
That is not right.
And what steps are you as the head of DPI taking to address that?
At DPI, since I've taken office, we have a very, very specific protocol and procedure that we follow whenever we release information or whenever we share information from the department that comes from communication from the department. Part of that procedure is that at least two eyes review that for accuracy, ensure that it's a message that we want to send, and review it for facts. That didn't happen in this. Most generally, it's either myself as a superintendent, the assistant superintendent, or the deputy superintendent that gives the final okay. That didn't happen. I have to be responsible for that. This was a personal email account sent on personal time, but it was a DPI employee. So I have to own that. His direct supervisor, this employee's direct supervisor, is managing him, working with him, and taking the steps that are necessary to correct that.
And will he remain an employee of the Department of Public Instruction?
Yes, he will.
Okay. I want to talk about some of the other issues that she raised, that Brenda raised, that I said I would get to. Not the least of which, that all of this was written in secret. And that struck me as just a major division between the people who support Common Core and the ones who don't. Give me your version of how Common Core was written and how these standards were written.
I welcome the opportunity to really clear that up. What Brenda is talking about is when the states came together and they wrote the draft of what would become the Common Core standards. I do know that there was public comment. Over 10,000 people commented on those. I am not as familiar with that process, the writing process, as Brenda may be. But that is not the adoption process of North Dakota. Once the standards were written on a national level involving teachers from all across the nation, each state had an opportunity to go through their adoption process. And that is when we received them, we brought our 70-plus teachers together from across the state. As I mentioned, there are at least six or seven on each team, English and math, from the Fargo, West Fargo area. But we brought together big schools, teachers from Class A, Class B, public, private, all regions of the state, and they spent nearly a year going back and forth. There were four different press releases asking for public comment. That's the process that we went through. And I guess I'd like to visit a little bit about why we have that process in place and how long it's been.
We can. We'll take more time. We gave Brenda a bunch of time. We'll give you time. One of the questions that I'm really curious about is that this whole thought of the federal government coming in and social engineering. And it's such, and I tried to get at it with Representative Heller by saying, who are these people? Who are your, because, a few people who know how to work the media can make a lot of noise. I get that in this day of social media. But what I'm trying to figure out is who they are. What's driving their, when they allow, facts to just be skewered, because really they are. And I want to get to that yet. I want to give you an opportunity to speak to that. So stick around. More coming your way right here on News and Views. Kirsten Baszler is my guest here on News and Views. I'm Joel Heitkamp, your host. Kirsten, you had some points you wanted to make before we start taking some phone calls here.
Thank you very much. I would like to address the fact that the copyright, if you are going to say that you are a Common Core state, that might be what's copyrighted, if you're going to use the label. The official exact name of our standards are the North Dakota Math and English Language Arts Standards based on the Common Core. Alaska has almost virtually identical standards, and they aren't a Common Core state, so they haven't adopted or chosen to use the name. Indiana's rewritten standards are almost identical to what they had before, so they aren't copyrighted. If you want to use the name of Common Core, you have to take it in totality.
So I can still watch a Viking game but not say I'm a member of the Minnesota Vikings.
There you go. Exactly. Okay. So as we talk about whether we can rewrite our own, we certainly can. And we can do something different if that's what we choose to do in North Dakota. I am a believer that we need to do this because our remediation rates are too high. So that's my opinion. But I, as the state superintendent, cannot wave a magic wand and decide
the
tomorrow.
The legislature did this.
Absolutely. In 1991, the legislature passed a law that required the state superintendent to set standards for the state and ensure that all of our schools were teaching to those standards. So it's their law. And in actuality, it's the state legislature that requires that all of our students take a test that is on math and English standards. Exactly. That's the accountability.
If I was still in one of those chairs, you wouldn't talk me out of that.
Well, and I think it's right. I mean, what is our return on investment? So
I want to get to this. The SAT and ACT tests have been made easier to align with Common Core. Why would Kentucky students not appear to be doing better? Basically, what he's saying is if they dumb down the ACT and SAT, the Kentucky students are bound to look better because they dumbed it down because of Common Core. True or not?
Well, if they dumbed it down, then why didn't we do better, too?
Okay. Another question. Evaluating the standards did not change them. Only comments were allowed.
On the national level. But when we got together as a state, when those 70 teachers got together as a state, they were allowed to add things. They were allowed to change them. I would encourage each and every person to look at the list of who those teachers are, find out if one of them is in your community, and visit with them about how that process was and how they considered those comments and those changes.
All right, let's get to Leah. Leah, you are on News and Views. Go ahead, Leah.
Hi, Joel. Thanks for having me on. I just want to say that I can't really refer to our state superintendent by her first name because she was a former teacher of mine, so she will be forever in my heart, Mrs. Baszler. But I just had kind of a little statement about the remediation rates. I know we hear that being talked about a lot that, North Dakota, we have such high remediation rates, we need to fix that. But, you know, just kind of looking at a few statistics, it seems like the more difficult that colleges in North Dakota are to get into, the lower their rates. So I've been a college student for 4 years now, and I've just kind of, it always surprises me how unprepared and unwilling incoming freshmen are to really work for being in college. It seems just like a thing that you do after high school. And so is that more of like a societal problem that kids aren't just willing to work as hard in this day and age because everybody gets to go to college? So what if we just made colleges in North Dakota more competitive to get into?
Okay, great question.
That is a really, and hi, Leah, you are a great student.
She kind of sounds like a suck up to me.
No,
I'm just saying.
She really, really was. Kidding, she came to the library all the time and checked out awesome
books. I was the one
books.
In the back of the room, Leah.
Awesome
Never
books.
Mind. Go ahead.
So that is a really good question, and you're right. The higher the expectations that we set for our kids, the higher they perform. The higher we set our expectations, and I think that is a reason for support for the new standards in math and English. If we raise our bar higher for them and expect more of them, they will rise to that level, as most students do. To answer your question about shouldn't we just make all colleges have a higher entrance exam?
Careful, Ham Shirvani got fired because of this.
I think that we have to provide campuses and colleges, you know, institutions of higher education learning open to all, whether they're going to score well on a test or not. You have absolutely hit the nail on the head about student motivation.
But nobody tells me that I can get into Harvard.
No, they don't. You have
nobody tells me that I automatically get a pass into Yale or Princeton or whatever. I believe that one of the big, and I think where I agree with Leah, and Leah, I was joking about the suck-up comment, where I agree with her to some level is just not all students belong because they want to go to a Bison football game or a UND hockey game at UND or NDSU.
I'm a firm believer in placing students where they'll experience success.
And so that needs to be done how? Because we're failing at it.
I agree. I think two things. I think motivation is one. We need to engage students and make them want to succeed. Leah speaks to that. I think we need to raise our expectations so they know that they have to productively struggle sometimes. And I think that we do need to develop a plan where we're putting students in an institution on a campus where they'll be successful.
Okay, let's get to Stacy. Stacy, you're on with Kirsten Baszler. Go ahead.
Hi, Kirsten. It's good to hear you today. I am calling because you did clear up some things by saying that our curriculum or our standards are based on Common Core. I had never heard that before. I just had heard that we had adopted them verbatim, meaning that we would have 15% to add to it, which that 15% would not be on the test. So if we, so if that covers the whole copyright and we can make some changes, my question would be, why then as a state would we go with Smarter Balance and have that data put in to a third party when through the last couple of interviews, and I don't know if it was with Dale or if it was the one that was recently with you, stating that we already had the longitudinal data system before we got on with Smarter Balance. So if we're not getting any funding and we're really not signed on with Common Core, but we're similar to that, I guess my question would be, why would we not keep it in state and why would we be using third party?
All right. Great question.
Really, really good question. First of all, the Smarter Balance Consortium is exactly that. It's a consortium. It's not just one or two people that are writing this test. It is teachers from all of the states, including North Dakota, that have people that are involved in the decisions about what this test is. In fact, I know for a fact that the assistant superintendent of the Fargo Public Schools is very involved in that. And so we are not having this test put upon us. We're part of a consortium as an equal member state that gets an equal vote. We get one vote, California gets one vote. It's equal, and we're writing the test items. So why would we do this? That's a good question. I think it's because of the mobility and the transientness of our nation. We have the NAEP test, which is the nation's report card, and we have the ACT test, where all states take those tests, take the NAEP test. Some states take the ACT test. But we have a desire by our legislators and our constituents to report out how we measure up compared to another state. And we can't do that if we have our own isolated state. We also have, you know, students in North Dakota that may not want to stay in state for their college experience or their university experience. And so we need to ensure that our students are on pace with what their counterparts with who they're going to be competing with to go to Stanford or Harvard.
Number one is a Class B guy. I grew up in a Class B town. This alone would help me every time somebody throws the argument that one of the reasons that I want to be living in West Fargo or Fargo or Bismarck is because they have a better K-12 public education than what you have. I can look them in the eye and say, bull. We all take the same test. We all have to pass that test or you don't move on. I like that. I like that. And I will tell you another life experience that I have. When I was manager of a rural water system, we had to become licensed and certified, which means you had to take tests before you could mess with anyone's drinking water. I'm dealing with good people who haven't been tested at anything in years, and they're dreading it. And I looked at them and I said, well, it's really simple, guys, just like me. Either you pass or you don't get to work here. It's an incredible motivator to get in the book, study, listen to the Ralph Riedingers of the world, and pass the damn test. You know what? That isn't a bad thing. That's a good thing. And my question of you, and I'm afraid this isn't going to come up, is, and Brenda brought this up, you know, what about the fact that what we're dealing with here is a real concern in some areas where people live in poverty, where they struggle in their school districts? And I don't mean to generalize with this, but I don't think that the Native American community will mind if I bring this up. What about the tribes?
That's a really, really good point, and I'm glad you did bring it up, Joel. As you know, I travel to schools quite often, so I can ask the teachers and find out how they're doing. So, and I communicate with our principals and our teachers frequently. I was at a reservation just last week, Wednesday, and I visited with the high school principal, the elementary principal, and the superintendent, and a whole host of teachers, one-on-one, without, you know, it wasn't a big group meeting where there was intimidation or anything. They all shared with me what a difference it's made to be able to focus on these new standards. They're not covering so much material, but they're really focusing on kids knowing the material and how to use it. I received a message from one of the reservation schools, Newtown, and their superintendent called our Indian Ed director and said, please don't back down from these. These are
so they're encouraging it. Okay.
Absolutely.
So they're in support of it.
Yes, very much so. They said for their students who are living in poverty, and they are most challenged students in North Dakota, we need to help them. And when their leaders are saying and their teachers are saying, this is the best thing we've seen for our kids in a long time, I have to give that merit.
Don't lose your spot. If you hang up, you're going to lose your spot. Wait there, because Kirsten's going to come back, take your calls. Welcome back to News and Views. Let's rifle through some phone calls here. Kirsten Baszler is our guest. She is advocating for Common Core and taking your phone calls on the News and Views Radio Network. Pam, you're on with the head of the Department of Public Instruction. Go ahead, Pam.
Oh, hey, Joe. Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to bring up the North Dakota ACT scores. Now, in North Dakota, our legislature mandates by law that all the students take the test. So I've actually looked at the table of all states and the percentages that are, as Kirsten says, college ready, and that really get a high enough score. And I think you're throwing out the 23% rate. But in some states, only 20% take the test, or 40%, or 60%. So in North Dakota, as you can see, that final test percentage is skewed. If all the students in Minnesota and Ohio and Illinois and New York, you know, were mandated like our students are to take the test, their test would be lower. So
I get what you're getting at.
I do too. And that's why I don't like to use the ACT to stack us up against other states, because other states don't require that all of their 11th graders take it. But the fact of the matter is, only 23% of our 11th graders are ready to in those three areas to go to college and take credit-bearing classes. So outside of how we compare, what I see is that our 11th graders, all of our 11th graders are taking this test, and of those 11th graders, only 23% are ready.
There's another stat too, though. A lot of our college students are dropping out.
Yes, and we want, I mean, I need to see that.
That's a stat.
I'd like to see them. I'd like to see, regardless of comparing to Minnesota or South Dakota with only 40% of their students taking, more than 23% of our kids have to be ready to take college classes.
All right, let's get to Bobby. Bobby, you're on News and Views.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I am one of those people that are not for Common Core. And this is my question about it. Why does standardization and standardized testing equal more learning?
Okay.
My husband and I both learn in very different ways. I do well. I did well on my ACT. I did well on a state and national board exam for my career. I memorize well. I can read well. My husband is a hands-on visual learner. He will never do well on standardized tests. That does not mean I am smarter than he is. Or kids who learn in the way of memorizing and are better at,
I get what you're saying.
Go ahead. I think I do. I get what she's saying as well. Why do we have standards? Well, the legislature has required that we have standards. So they ensured that Class B schools, like Joel and I went to school at, were receiving the same expectations of learning as any Class A school. And the state legislature required that standardized tests, that we test them each year, because they wanted accountability for the dollars invested in the education system, the public education system.
Well, you have to have some
standard.
And
so that's why. But is that the end all to measure how a kid will do in beyond high school? No, it isn't. But it's a factor that our state legislators have determined is necessary for them to get a report for accountability.
One more quick call. Roger, you're on with Kirsten. Go ahead, Roger.
You know, intelligence as we measure it isn't innate, but how we learn is a process. I'll give you an example. When I was a senior at UND, the professor walked in and threw our papers on the table, and he said, "Don't you guys know how to write?" And he said, "And I suspect you don't know how to read." And he described to us how we read. You get a dictionary and learn the words, and you go through the perfunctory process of reading before you are able to write what you think. And it never occurred to me that it was presumed, and I never knew that. And the short of it was, is I ended up with a JD subsequently.
Okay. Your thoughts on that?
You know, my mother was a big dictionary person. She would always make me look up words, and I became a librarian, so it must have done some good. But I believe, as a librarian, as a former teacher, the best way to become a better writer is to read more, because you're exposed to different examples of good writing, and then you can therefore write well as well. And so I do think that there are multiple ways to learn how to do a certain skill.
All right. I wanted couple closing comments from you.
Yes. I think, are these standards harder? Yes. Will our students be expected to do more? Yes. But I would rather provide that for them when they have the support, so it's not a shock when they go to college.
Thanks for making yourself available to the public. Thank you for that.